Hi, gang. Bob Boving here to unleash the Mystery Project and the encore of our series, Peggy Delaney, by James W. Nichol. When her friend Bernie comes looking for help, it appears that Peggy won't get a column out of righting an individual wrong. There are two sides to every conflict, and in this case, both are wrong. Kyra Harper stars as Peggy Delaney in Changing.
Hello there. You've reached Peggy Delaney, Toronto Tribune. If you have something confidential you want to pass on, just leave your name and number. The walls have ears. I'll get back to you. If you're calling to give me fulsome, unqualified praise for my columns, feel free now. If you're calling to scream at me, fascist, communist, cop-loving, cop-hating, pro-lesbian, anti-lesbian, pretend anti-establishment, crypto Bay Street swamp pig, go for it. After all, this is a quasi-democracy.
Hi, it's me. Can I see you?
Hi, Bernie.
Hi.
So, what's up? You wanted to see me.
You're looking, chipper.
Chipper? Well, it's just that it's so nice out. I think winter's over, finally.
It's April.
But you can actually feel the heat of the sun on your face. It's great.
Ah, spring. Birds, bees, smoke. You know, you may be happy, but your lungs are very sad. How's Carlos?
Terrific.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's it. That's all you're going to get out of me.
So it's been a good 2 weeks, has it? Since you and Carlos, you know...
Oh, I should never have told you.
Yeah, but you did. The next day. At noon, I recall.
Oh, I must have been out of my mind.
But you always tell me. And afterwards you always say, I wish I hadn't told you.
All right, all right. It's just... Well, I don't know if I should tell Amber or not. I'm really worried about it.
I thought you were happy.
I am happy. I'm happy and worried at the same time.
Tell her. She'll be happy for you. She'll be happy you told her.
No, she won't.
Yes, she will.
I doubt it.
She will. Because Amber is a very generous-hearted person. My nephew, David, on the other hand, is a schmuck.
David?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right here. Write in your own paper. Why don't you read your own newspaper?
Just my column.
You'd think he'd show a little more discretion and pride. His mother's hysterical.
That would be Doc?
It would.
Well, she's always been hysterical, hasn't she? As in, closet hysteric?
Well, she's out of the closet now. Aunt Tessie faxed her a copy. Read.
David Goldstein has a big job to do. The 30-year-old Toronto bachelor is taking his former fiancée, Wendy Nye, to court to force her to return an engagement ring that Goldstein claims cost him $5,000.
$5,000.
His lawyer concedes that there is very little in Ontario law that addresses this situation, but there are at least three incidences of this nature where the court has found in favor of the complainant. Most notably, a case in 1914.
1914.
Ms. Nye refused repeated requests for an interview.
At least she has the good sense not to talk to you people.
Well, it's buried on an inside page, Bernie. Only a million or so people will have read this.
Uh-huh. The guy spent every dime he had to buy that ring. So who do you think he wants to pay for his lawyer?
Uncle Bernie?
And he just called this morning to say that this same reporter is going to interview him again for the weekend edition. And she's going to bring a photographer along this time. He's happy. He thinks he's getting somewhere. David is not worldly, shall we say. He's way over his head.
And you called me because?
Because I'm trying to talk him into dropping the suit. Meanwhile, is there any way you could kind of discourage this reporter from writing any more columns?
No.
They're not helping. David thinks because it's in the paper, he has to go through with this.
I'm not going to tell a reporter to kill a story, even if I could, which I can't. I'm surprised you'd even ask me. You know me better than that.
I'm desperate.
No.
The Survivor.
Yeah, it's a store on Young Street. Bernie says it sells everything from tents to Bowie knives to army surplus.
Never heard of it.
Sammy, get out of my face.
I'm here, Sammy.
And I guess David's been working there since he came back to Toronto. I've only met him a couple of times. He's shy. He's not totally unattractive. But I would guess that he hasn't had too much experience, you know.
With the opposite sex? Meaning us?
Uh-huh.
The poor guy.
Yeah, well, he must have met a snake. And he's the kind of person it would be really easy to take advantage of. I mean, imagine not giving him his ring back. So I told Bernie I'd ask whoever's on this story to delay writing anymore. Well, for a while. And I said I'd talk to David. Bernie kept looking at me with those big brown eyes of his. He wore me down.
And you're the best of friends.
Yeah, that too. Amber.
What?
Well, speaking of friends, just... Well, there's something I've been wanting to tell you.
Oh? What?
I think we should always be honest with each other, don't you?
Yes. What?
And if something important happens in our lives...
Mom, what?
Carlos and I are seeing each other more these days.
More?
More closer these days, you know.
You and Carlos?
Yes.
Mom, that's just great.
It is?
Yes! Wow, really, Mom?
Well, he's kind of a neat guy.
Yeah, I know he is, and I know how much you love him. You just kind of melt whenever he calls.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. This is great. Yeah, this is really great. It really is.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Honey, I don't want you to think that Carlos is going to get in between us. Or that you're not my whole life, because you are.
No, I'm not. That is not true.
I mean, in the most special way possible, in the deepest way possible, you are. You're my whole life. And nothing will ever change that.
Okay. I know what you mean. It's okay. I used to feel just so panicky around you, you know. I was never really sure how you felt about me.
I know.
Tyler taught me a lot, I think. Not that it worked out or anything, but he taught me that I was a lot stronger than I thought. And he taught me that I could love him so much, and it had nothing to do with how much I loved you. They were like such separate things. So don't worry, okay? I'm just really happy for you.
Oh, God.
She's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
She looks a lot like, well, like the girl next door. Her skin's flawless. White as chalk.
Really?
And she's sweet and shy. You know, that's why it came is such a shock. I can't get over it.
Well, maybe you should try. Your mother, Bernie, your great-aunt Tessie, everybody thinks you should just let it go, David, for your own peace of mind.
I appreciate your concern, Peggy. I appreciate you taking the time to have lunch with me because I'm nobody, really.
Oh, yes, you are.
And I know you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for Bernie.
I just told Bernie that I'd talk to you, that's all. To tell you how hurtful this kind of publicity can be. People always feel used by the media afterwards. You really don't want to see your picture in The Weekender, looking like a wet cocker spaniel and with a cut line like broken-hearted suitor seeks revenge, do you?
No.
David, Why did you spend $5,000? That's a lot of money.
Well, she's the love of my life. I wanted to impress her. I maxed out my credit card.
I bet. She must be a very persuasive girl.
She's tiny, you know. She's just a little thing.
I think it's over, David.
It was like some kind of dream. Nightmare, too. You should be so good to me. And then she'd change. Back and forth, all the time. I could never tell which way she'd be. Sometimes she'd just stop talking. I wouldn't know why. I wouldn't know whether she was mad at me. I said something or did something wrong. She would never say. Sometimes we'd plan to meet someplace, go to a restaurant or a movie. I'd wait. I'd call her. No answer. I'd wait some more and wait and wait until the streets were half empty. She wouldn't show. Other times, she'd be there right on time. She would make me feel like I was the most important man in the world. I just never knew which way it would be. She liked to talk on the telephone. Yeah, half the night, sometimes. She'd get me to tell her how much I loved her. I could never tell her enough or find the right words or something. It would go on and on. And then one night, at 3:10 in the morning, she said our engagement was off. And she said she wanted to keep the ring.
You must hate her.
Well, if I could only make her change her mind, you know?
Jim Kaiser.
Yes.
Hi there. I'm Peggy.
Peggy Delaney. Oh, hi. I'm so pleased to meet you. I mean, oh, you're my model. I mean, you're who I want to be. This is so great.
Oh, really? Well, that's nice. I wouldn't be too quick to be me, though.
Well, no. I'll be myself, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, I read your bid on the man who's suing his fiancée. Good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. But how did you know that was me? They didn't give me a byline or anything.
I asked around. You're an intern, which means the Trib's ripping you off by asking you to work for free.
Oh, well.
Just to get some work experience. And your editor is very impressed.
I know. He asked me to do a follow-up for the Weekender.
Look, I don't want to get between you and your story. I know what it's like. Believe me, I do know what it's like. But I have a favor to ask.
Anything. What?
Well, I was just talking to David Goldstein. He's the nephew of a friend of mine.
Oh?
Uh-huh. And his family's really worried about him suing this Wendy Nye. They think that maybe he's a little too emotionally fragile right now for any more newspaper stories. They want to have a bit of time to persuade him to drop the suit and just forget about everything.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's a big favor to ask. And David doesn't even know where Wendy and I lives.
I know he doesn't.
He told me she wouldn't tell him, for modesty's sake, so he wouldn't get any wild ideas. She would, however, condescend every once in a while to go around to his place and cook his chicken. Did he tell you that?
It was a bit embarrassing, yes. He kind of gushes. Oh, Miss Delaney, I'm just trying to get a start in the business.
I know you are. All I'm asking is for you to wait, just for a little while. Do you know where she lives?
It won't do you any good. She won't talk to anyone. David did know where she worked, at this photocopying place. The first time I went there to see her, she just left me standing at the counter talking to myself. And then, after my piece came out, and I went back to try for a reaction, she wasn't even there.
Hmm.
Her boss said he hadn't seen her for 2 days. He kept phoning her place. She didn't answer. He was worried. I said I'd check on her and see if she was okay. So he gave me her address.
Hmm, that was smart.
Well, thanks. Anyway, she wasn't there. Or she just wouldn't answer her buzzer or her door.
Your story came out 4 days ago, on Monday.
And she didn't show up for work on Tuesday, or since.
Kind of an extreme reaction to having her name in the paper, don't you think?
I did then. I don't now.
Why?
Because I got a call from this man around noon today. He said that this Wendy Nye had tried the same thing on him 3 years ago.
Nice day, isn't it?
The sun feels so great.
Want to sit down?
Sure.
You're looking too good. I think I have to kiss you. Your eyes are full of sun, you know?
Oh, they're full of you, Carlos.
And vice versa.
And vice versa?
Yeah. That's as poetic as I can get. I'm a cop, remember?
Yeah. I told Amber.
You did?
Mm-hmm. And she was just great. I mean, she was pleased for us. She wasn't upset. She likes you a lot.
I like her, too.
I was surprised. I thought, well, disaster, you know. Anger, deeply hurt feelings, and maybe she'd freeze me out or something. But she was just great.
Good.
I mean, this isn't particularly selfless of me, is it? Starting up with you when she's still here. It's unbelievably selfish, really. It's the way I've always been. She's going to think about it, and she's going to see that, once again, I'm not really thinking about her. I don't really care.
Maggie?
What?
Why can't you give yourself a break? Why can't you be happy?
I am happy.
Look, remember what you told me. At first, you were afraid to even invite Amber here.
Well, I was drinking. I didn't think I could stop long enough to fake it, you know, for a whole school term. Well, not that she didn't know I was a drunk anyway, but...
Peggy, listen. You did get the courage to invite her to stay with you. First time in a long while, right?
And I screwed up all over the place.
And Amber hung in. And you were sober by the end of last year. You've been dry for almost a half year now. That's something, isn't it?
I guess.
And when you told her about me, the bond between you is so strong now. It just made her happy for you, right?
Right.
So, give yourself a break. You've done well.
Right.
Ms. Delaney?
Oh, hi, June.
I just got a call. My second anonymous tip in one day.
No kidding.
But he said you'd asked him to call me about Wendy Nye. Whether she has a police record?
Yeah, that's right. Because it's your story. I just asked you to delay the story. I didn't say kill it.
Are we working on this together, then?
Yes, we are. Until it comes time to write it. Then it's all yours.
This is just so... I'm really grateful.
You should be. So, what did he say?
He said that Wendy Nye has no prior convictions for fraud. She was, however, taken to court unsuccessfully in September of 1994.
For what?
She was engaged to someone, broke it off, and kept the ring. He wanted it back.
So that's almost 5 years ago. That guy who called you earlier today, he said Wendy Nye did the same thing to him 3 years ago. But he didn't take her to court. And David Goldstein, that makes three.
At least. I'm impressed.
By her?
No, by you. Whoever that anonymous person was on the phone, he's a great source of information.
Yes, he is. Among other things.
So, what do we do now?
You sit tight, and I'll stake out Wendy Nye. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Are you Wendy? You must be. You have the key. Awful late, though, isn't it? Almost 2 a.m.
Who are you?
Just a sleep-deprived reporter who... Oh, wait! Who doesn't want a story done on you. Who wants to kill the whole thing.
What do you mean?
Well, how about I come in, and then we can talk.
Okay.
I had a hunch you might still be here.
Did you? So, do you want to sit down?
Sure, thank you.
Okay.
I know why you left your job. Why you're sneaking around in the middle of the night and probably planning on moving. I know why you're afraid.
Why?
Because Wendy Nye is your right name. Or at least it's the name you've been using all along. You've never had to change it, so far. But now it's appeared in the newspaper. Someone might recognize a familiar name, familiar situation, and call the cops. And then what seems like just a one-time spat between two people becomes something much more serious, doesn't it?
Does it?
A pattern emerges. A serial predator emerges, and possible jail time, right?
I think you're making this up.
A man did call the Trib today. Said you did the same thing to him. And we know about the court case that was thrown out in 94. David Goldstein makes three.
You said, something about you were going to kill the whole thing?
Yeah, but I lied. Just like you. Apparently, you lie all the time. However, you might have a way out.
A way out?
Uh-huh. Give me back David's ring, or his $5,000, if you've already... Whose ring is that on your finger?
David's.
Huh. Why haven't you sold it by now?
I don't know.
Well, hand it over, and I'll give it back to David. And then he'll no longer have a complaint to pursue in court, will he? And I have it on good authority that the police aren't going to be too worried about you if you make full restitution to David. Just as long as you realize that from now on, your career as a diamond thief is over.
Here's the ring.
Thank you. That was easy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes. It doesn't make sense.
What doesn't?
You. Men don't just go away when they're treated the way you treat them. You've probably had to quit your job every time you've pulled this stunt. And how many times have you had to move? And for what? Because you're getting rich? I don't think so. Even a diamond a year, if you're that prolific, would only net you a few thousand dollars. It's hardly worth losing a $20,000 a year job, is it?
Isn't it?
What's going on?
You wouldn't understand if I told you.
I think I know. It has nothing to do with money, does it? You're compelled to do this, aren't you? No matter how much grief it causes you, not to mention everybody else, you can't not do it. You can't stop.
Oh? You think so?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. You know, it's so stupid. But I need someone to be just, like, crazy over me. And then, when they are, I hate them for it. And I punish them. I punish them.
Because no one should love you, right? I think I know this routine. You feel like you're in the deepest, darkest hole in the world. That it's impossible to stop what you're doing.
But it is!
No. No, it isn't. It is possible to change. A little bit, anyway. You know what I think you should do?
What?
I think you should give David's ring back to him yourself.
I can't.
Do you have any feeling for him at all?
Yes.
Then you can. Give yourself a break and give him back his ring yourself.
Cinderella Cleaning, where it's always 5 minutes to midnight.
That's good, Bernie.
You get it?
No.
Well, at midnight, Cinderella gets turned back into a servant girl, right? Mm. But our customers will always be treated like princesses because it's always 5 minutes to midnight.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm just calling to ask you if you'd like to come for Sunday dinner this Sunday.
Sunday dinner?
Yeah, nothing special. It'll just be me and Amber and Carlos.
Me and Amber and Carlos, really?
Do you want to come or not?
I wouldn't miss it.
Oh, how's your cousin getting along?
David, give me your glasses, everybody.
Oh, this is the part I hate.
And everyone admires you for allowing a little wine at your table when you have to abstain. It shows largesse of spirit.
Not to mention strength of character and guts.
I feel like a nun.
Funny, you don't look like a nun.
Ha, ha, ha.
Carlos asked about David. David is actually a very happy guy these days. He's still a schmuck, mind you, but he's a happy schmuck.
Why is he so happy?
Because not only did that Wendy person give him back his ring, he tells me that they have a date to go out somewhere this week. Whether she'll show up or not, that's another question.
She'll show up.
I'd like to make a toast.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Bernie. To Amber and to her mom. To ties that bind. To happiness.
To happiness!
You are happy, aren't you? Sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yes.
You kind of look happy.
Oh, that's just from the hot oven. It makes her cheeks go red.
Okay. All right. Hey. I'm happy. I am. Sammy, if you get up on the table, you're dead.
You have been listening to Changing, the first in the series of Peggy Delaney by James W. Nichol. Featured in the cast tonight, Kyra Harper as Peggy, Katharina Scarsone as Amber, John Stalker as Bernie, George Buza as Detective Carlos Szabo. Appearing with our regulars were Jonathan Crombie as David Goldstein, Genevieve Steele as June Kaiser, and Stephanie Morgenstern as Wendy Nye. The music was composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka. The recording engineer was Drago Grandic. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. Colleen Woods was the associate producer. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. The program was produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. See you next week.